wanted to learn more about the latest vaccines for adults and how adult patients make the decision to receive vaccinations. So we spent some time at Dr. Portz's practice in Annandale, Virginia.
Most of the people we know refer to us as the twins. But the one main way to tell the difference between us is our hair part. It's on opposite sides.
I'm just ready to like feel it.
In college, we kind of take the reins on a lot of like our own responsibilities, and so we took the initiative to, make sure we got all of our vaccinations.
There are a couple of specific vaccines that are very, very important to give to college-age students. So Olivia and Catherine were given the meningococcal vaccine to prevent meningococcal meningitis. Most colleges strongly recommend it because crowding seems to increase the risk of young people getting meningococcal meningitis.
All right, Catherine, your turn.
And they were given a diphtheria tetanus update booster vaccine. It's now recommended that diphtheria tetanus be given to every adult every 10 years.
And we're done.
Okay. Another thing was the HPV vaccinations, which we had started hearing about through friends, actually. The HPV vaccination was controversial among our friends because some of our friends came from much more
conservative families, yeah.
They thought that was condoning sexual activity.
Regardless of whether or not you're engaging in sexual activity, I think there are circumstances that arise that you don't necessarily foresee. I think it's really important to just have that safety net and get vaccinated.
Studies have shown that between the ages of 17 and 20, 25% of that population will develop antibodies against HPV. That means that these people have been exposed to the virus. And human papillomavirus, we now recognize as the major cause of cervical cancer, vaginal cancer, and anal cancer. There are about 11 to 12,000 cases of cervical cancer in the United States every year. This can be prevented by giving the HPV vaccine. The HPV vaccine is only to prevent HPV. It has nothing to do with any other sexually transmitted diseases or infections. These are important vaccines to receive when you're a young adult. As we get older also, our immunity to certain diseases decreases. The pneumococcus is the most common bacterial organism causing pneumonia. So it is highly recommended that everyone over the age of 65 be given pneumococcal vaccine. Recently, the advent of the shingles vaccine has been a very important vaccination.
How are you feeling?
You can
have a seat. Okay.
I think Irene represents the extreme of what can happen to an individual if they do get shingles. The ongoing discomfort totally interferes with someone's life. It's almost impossible to function.
From a whole host of reasons, not just shingles.
I decided to go to see a doctor because I was experiencing an unusual pain, which was in the back, at the bottom actually of my head. There was an acne type appearance right here in the middle of my forehead. Going from there, a shooting pain started about a day and a half later.
My wife was in an awful lot of pain, and we didn't know what it was at first.
And then shingles appeared all over the right upper quarter of the face. The entire episode lasted for about 3 weeks.
She was still suffering a lot, and I thought, well, it'll be over. The doctor kept reassuring us, telling us that, well, in a few months, she'll be all right, and it'd be like she never had it.
The studies have shown that the shingles vaccine, given to adults above the age of 60, significantly decreases their chances of having post-herpetic neuralgia if they get shingles.
It's been over 2 years now, and she's still suffering. Every day, she's in pain. After I saw what happened to her, and I heard more about it, then I thought I'd better get a vaccination at the very least. And I'm glad I got it.
Vaccines have been one of the great success stories in American and worldwide medicine. You can give individuals the ability not
to get an infection if they're vaccinated.
That is a real
obviously, if you can
problem.
Prevent something, that is a great triumph of medicine.
Now, your patient, Irene, her husband actually was vaccinated against shingles after he saw what his wife was going through. Can you explain more about what's expected from that vaccine and why it's so important?
Well, first of all, as most people know, shingles, varicella zoster virus, is reactivation of the original chickenpox varicella infection that has been dormant for many, many years in some cases. And in certain individuals, and as we get older, the chances of reactivation of this virus increases, usually along a dermatome, and usually associated with some discomfort. That discomfort may be pruritus itching, it may be pain, maybe other symptoms. And in most people, it may not be that bad, but in some people, it's quite painful. Quite painful during the acute episode, and even after treatment may be quite painful months or in some cases a few years afterwards and totally destroy the ability of someone to live day-to-day comfortably. We have the ability to decrease the incidence of postherpetic neuralgia. And the vaccine does that to a significant degree. It will also decrease outbreaks or potential outbreaks of shingles. And if you do get an outbreak, it won't be nearly as severe as if you didn't have the vaccine. But the postherpetic neuralgia, there's no question about it, is very, very severe for some people. And I believe most of us now promote the usage of the shingles vaccine in individuals above the age of 60.
Well, now that we've talked about the routine vaccines that most patients need, let's talk a little bit more about contraindications, if you will. There's evidence that physicians are sometimes confused about which vaccines to use in certain patients and which ones should be avoided. And obviously, getting those contraindications wrong could mean that somebody who should be vaccinated and could be vaccinated somehow misses out. Are there general rules to follow here?
There are a few general contraindications that are common across all of our vaccines. The first one is a person shouldn't get a vaccine if they have a history of an anaphylactic response to any component in that vaccine. Now, there are people who have allergies to different things, but not all of those allergies are anaphylactic or type 1 hypersensitivity type reactions. But, for instance, if someone has an anaphylactic reaction to egg protein, they shouldn't get influenza vaccine, which is made in eggs. If people have serious allergic reactions to latex, some of the vaccines have latex in the packaging that actually precludes use of those vaccines in those persons. So that's the first one. And it's important to think about the specific components in the vaccine, which, of course, are always listed in the product labeling. The second general contraindication that goes across all the vaccines is not vaccinating people who are really sick. I'm not talking about an upper respiratory infection with even a low-grade fever or a case of otitis media in a child or diarrheal illness in a child, but for people who are really ill, they shouldn't be vaccinated at that time simply because it's going to be very hard to interpret any adverse events that might occur after vaccination. Was it part of this underlying illness that they had, or was it caused by the vaccine? So it's easier just to wait till people are better, and then when they're on the mend, they can get their vaccines. The other issue has to do with use of live virus vaccines in people with significant immunosuppression. We do use a number of vaccines that are based on live attenuated viruses. And in general, those vaccines shouldn't be given to people who are significantly immunosuppressed. The details of that vary a little bit based on the vaccine and the type of immunosuppression, but as a general rule, that's the recommendation.
Are there some common misconceptions?
Well, it's true that often vaccines get deferred that don't need to. And the most common reasons have to do with diarrheal illness, respiratory infections, other mild or moderate illnesses with or without fever. Those don't represent contraindications to vaccination. Kids get sick a lot. And if pediatricians or family physicians taking care of children had to wait until a child was completely healthy and had been completely healthy for 2 weeks before vaccinating, it would be very hard to get them vaccinated at all. The studies have been done that the vaccines can safely be given and are effective when given to children with mild illness.
Well, those are all good reminders. We should also review contraindications for older adults. What would you say are the main contraindications there?
There really would be very few if we're talking about the common immunizations of in adults. Pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine, if you're talking about the TD, tetanus diphtheria vaccine, if you're talking about shingles vaccine, unless you were immunocompetent or had a significant immunodeficiency state of some type, there are probably not many, except for the allergies, severe allergic reactions. There are probably very few reasons not to give the vaccine.